Now, KMOX at your service. Welcome to the Helitech Foundation Repair Home Improvement Show. Now, here's your host, Scott Mosby, on KMOX.
All right, KMOX Home Improvement, Scott Mosby. So many things to talk about. We are live and lively, 50,000 watts. A wonderful, beautiful Saturday Rain? It's not snow and it's not ice. It is Saturday morning. So a few things I may not quite understand today, but weather, yeah, hey, I am in the construction industry. Weather is a way that the world either goes around, stops, progresses, or doesn't. Scott Mosby, Home Improvement, 2 hours today. All your questions and answers are welcome. 10 phone lines. I promise to bring my best, do my best. Sometimes it's enough, and sometimes it's just my best. 314-436-7900, 436-7900, and toll-free 800-925-1120, 800-925-1120. This is the Helitech Foundation and Waterproofing Home Improvement Show, and we will have a guest in here from Helitech a little bit later, I promise. He's on his way, taking time out from his family during the holidays. I also have with me as well Josh Dunlap, a guest from Mosby Building Arts. He's in here just to help me remember stuff. You know, two heads are better than one, so we're going to talk about that and more. Josh, good morning. Welcome. Thanks for coming.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
How are you this fine Saturday?
I am great.
Yeah,
weather
yeah.
is outstanding.
Yeah, yeah. So all the holidays, the gremlins, you ready for Santa and all that with the kids and such?
We are getting geared up, yeah.
Oh, is that a good thing?
Oh, that's a very good thing, yeah.
There we go. Josh, thanks for coming in this Saturday morning, and maybe you can help me bail my bacon out of the fire every now and again. What do you think?
I'm here to help.
There we go. Josh has been around the block. I'll let you talk about some of your training as well. It's important for people to know where we come from and what we've been doing. So as I bring people on KMOX to share with you, the KMOX family, you know, I want you to know where we come from and what our training and background is a little bit. So that you kind of know where I'm at. I've been in this industry now for over 50 years. I've been through most every kind of construction training I could get my hands on throughout the industry. And with all the advent of moisture and rotting homes, indoor air quality issues, 5-year-old homes literally rotting to death from the inside out of a wood frame structure, I've become more of a building science enthusiast, if you will. Josh as well. Josh, tell me a little bit about the background of where you come from as well.
My background really started when I was about 6 years old, stacking bricks in the back of my dad's truck. He ran a family business doing home remodeling, and so I've been around it my entire life. And as things progressed, I picked up things along the way. And, you know, there came a point where my role in the company became full-time as opposed to part-time, you know, as school ended up and things like that. And so I started looking at taking on more responsibilities, engaging more and taking charge of my kind of like my destiny. So mm-hmm. I looked building science, you mentioned, that was kind of my big attractor. So everything and anything having to do with how houses are put together, how systems function, really intrigued me. So I really kind of focused all my attention on gathering more information where I could and when I could. So I, throughout the years, got certified through BPI, which is the Building Performance Institute. Then they were kind of like the cutting edge of what building science is and how to implement it in existing homes as well as new homes. So that really helped inform a lot of what was going on and how we did all of our work.
Well, if Josh Dunlap's last name is familiar, his dad, Dave Dunlap, was a guest host on this show many, many times in past years. So anyway, Josh falls from good trees and good stock, let's put it that way. So Dave, as you well know, knew his way around and around and around this industry. So Josh, thanks.
Not a problem. I learned from the best.
Yeah, well, you did. I mean, your dad is one of the smartest guys I know in the industry, and pleased to have you with the Mosby Building Arts team, so it's a real honor to be able to work with you.
Great team to be on.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Anyway, well, while we do this bro-fest here, we're hugging each other, high-fiving in the studio. You know, that, yeah, for those of you that know us, that, you know, yeah. All right, we'll release you from the visuals on all of that. Phone lines for you, I promise, we're going to bring it to you. We're going to bring our very best, all we can muster. Sometimes the answers will match the questions. Sometimes. Yeah, you know, sometimes they don't. But you know what? The best thing about this KMOX family, I don't have to know all the answers. Somebody out there does. Yeah, that's it. 314-436-7900-800-925-1120. And John Courtney is going to come in and talk with us here a little bit about Helitech. We got so much rain. It's still raining. We're going to get a few more raindrops throughout the day. And then I think it gets pretty nice. If you can hear my voice, you're in the weather pattern of some pretty good stuff coming at you in the 40s and 50s and, you know, that big ball of shining something in the sky they used to call the sun. I think it's coming back, so we can count on that. So much to talk. Anyway, we've got so much doggone rain happening now. I kind of prodded John to come in. It's like, hey, man, we need some underground water guys to tell us what's cooking here. So John Courtney will be with us here in the next 20, 30 minutes, something like that. Let's just fire up the phone lines. Josh, you ready to get the wheels going on this thing and just see what comes out?
Bring it on.
There we go. Let's see what's happening here with my friend Keith. Hey, Keith, good morning. Welcome to KMOX, my friend. How can I help?
Oh, I was thinking about putting extra roof layover on an old roof. And it's like a roof that was built in the slats, the foundation. Is there a pro or con or not to do that, or is it? You know, put a second layer of shingles on the roof.
Do you have, wood shakes at one time here, Keith?
I don't know exactly what you mean. It's like there's little gaps in between the boards.
Yeah, like a quarter of an inch, half inch, small. Yeah, okay. Yeah, you can roof over or second layer. The maximum is really one layer. That's the maximum. Now, depending upon the history, I would, on my house, I might do it, but I'm more inclined not to. I will do it. It does save money. However, I'm medically trained in emergency medical training, and, you know, one of the basics there is bear the wound. You know, see what you're up against. Are you fixing what's really wrong? Or are you just fixing what you think is going on? So again, same on roofing, moisture management. You hear it here through the camera. You know, I want to open this puppy up and see what I'm up against before I, you know, ready, fire, aim. I want to ready, aim, fire and make sure we get the right thing. So that's the value system. Yes, you can. Gets done all the time. Most roofers will advocate for that. And if somebody goes up in the attic and looks up at the roof sheathing from the bottom up and, you know, kind of indicates, you know, things look pretty good.
Yes, that's what I did.
Yeah. I think you're in pretty good stead there, Keith. Anybody saying you can put a third layer over, you just throw them right out the...
Run. And another question is this ceiling is the old plaster ceiling, and it's getting a lot cracks in different rooms, and... I don't know. Should I just paint over it, or is there something that you put to seal them cracks? I don't know. It had a little water leak, but it's kind of peeling a little bit in places. But overall, it's okay. But it does need some attention. Just painting, is that the best way?
Painting is only the pretty layer. You really want to get something going. If you've got leaks, first off, how old is your house?
In the 30s.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You can tap on that plaster kind of like with a broom handle or something, and hear the hollow or not. The problem is if you hit one that's hollow, it's most likely going to come down on your head.
That's what I don't want to. I don't want to have an ordeal, fix.
Yeah, if you've got cracks and any kind of loose plaster up there, and you'll know the difference between just aesthetic, little bitty cracks and a whole bunch of them in one place, then it's time to either pull it down and replaster, which I don't advocate. I tend to advocate maybe half-inch to 5/8-inch drywall.
Okay.
Better Type X, which is a fire code. All that means is it's fiber reinforced, so it's like a flat hunk of plywood to put over there, and it's like a big washer. So when you screw it to the ceiling joist, it tends to hold the plaster in place. So think of it as a big washer with fasteners to hold the existing plaster up there, and then you kind of bypass all that insulation dropping through and yada yada.
What thickness of drywall did you say?
Type X, just fire code drywall. Type X is right out of the building code, but it's kind of jargonish if you just say fire rated drywall. And I like the 5/8-inch because it's expensive, it's heavy, but boy howdy, it's like a big plate of steel. It does not bend around the divots and sags in your plaster ceiling. So it tends it's the strongest hunk of drywall I think you should use.
Okay. Wow, that's a great information there, you know. A lot of these houses in Woodrow, they're kind of in the 30s. So that's what was
cool.
So thank you.
Okay, Keith, good luck, my friend.
Okay, appreciate it.
All righty, bye now.
Bye.
Josh, do you have anything to, you know, add to that?
No, that's excellent advice. Laminating a ceiling that has any kind of stress on it can accomplish several things all at once. Mm-hmm. Primarily, you get a nice aesthetic finish, so everything smooths out again. You look up, you're laying in bed, you look up, and everything looks nice again. But the other thing it can do is kind of help. If you mentioned peeling paint and things like that, if you have any chance of having lead paint in the house, you can actually encapsulate that. And you don't have to worry about trying to mitigate that or deal with all the mess of lead paint, lead-based paints.
Yeah, you can go right over it, and that is one of the encapsulation. Man, I missed that one. Good job. Hey, this kid knows some stuff, you know? I mean, this kid's 40 years old, but, you know, it's all relative. Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a break, come back for more. Joshua, you stick around and help bail me out?
Absolutely.
Right on there. Home Improvement, Kim Wick, Scott Mosby, at your service with Josh Dunlap today.
Welcome back to the Helitech Foundation Repair Home Improvement Show. Now, once again, here's your host, Scott Mosby, on KMOX.
Oh, yes, indeed. Home Improvement. We are live and lively. Josh Dunlap, Scott Mosby, at your service here on KMOX. 50,000 watts. Bosco the Gerbil cranking out on the treadmill behind me. 50,000 watts. John Courtney on his way, coming in to talk to us here on University of KMOX. Phone lines, let's see what's cooking here and talk to my friend Wayne. Hey, Wayne, good morning. Welcome to KMOX. How can we help you, my friend? Hello, Wayne.
Hello?
Yes, sir. You're on, Wayne.
Yes. Oh, okay. Yes, I've got a question for you. About 10 years ago, we went to remodel and had a deck built on the house, very large deck.
Okay.
Last summer, I noticed a few of the boards starting to pop up on it. We had put down a full plastic planking on it, which I like very much and is held up new, so I went underneath to see what's wrong, and the understructure is all rotted out. You can put your hands right through the boards.
Ooh.
And I found out now the porch rails are starting to flop back and forth, and the railing's falling off. And I went to the carpenter in the lumber yard, and we did use treated lumber. But they explained to me that the EPA outlawed what had been used, and we got the first batch of something new. Now, it's all rotted out, and it's going to cost us probably about $20,000 to tear it all out and replace it. And all they want to do is come back in, that's the lumber treating company, and pick a board here and there and say, well, we'll replace that one where we've got some others. They're not bad now, but you can tell they're not far behind. You know, the whole board's turned black and doesn't seem real solid, but they just want to replace a few boards at their expense. And I was wondering, is there any kind of way to go back on them for it?
Not after 10 years. Frankly, it's I'm surprised that legally I don't believe there's any responsibility. But I'm not an attorney, so that's not necessarily, you know, from anybody other than an old-time carpenter. I don't believe there's...
You would think when you bought treated lumber, though, that there would be some kind of expectation of a lifespan for it.
Oh, I totally agree with you, and I think it's a good mark for the lumber supplier to offer anything, frankly. But I would not. I would start negotiating to replace that deck, because all you're going to do is put good money on bad. So, I mean, you know, it's like putting lipstick on a pig. It, you know, that deck is on its way out.
If we do it, I'm going to replace the entire structure. But I intend to reuse the plastic lumber because it's as good as the day it was put on there.
Okay.
But I just, you know, when I run into a couple others, but the EPA outlawed the treating they were using, and they had to switch.
Well, it was a good thing, because
choose one that you know is going to last longer than 10 years.
Well, there are tags on the end of the lumber that mark a 0.020 or a 0.040. Wallman is one of the brands that used to be out, and I know exactly what you're talking about. And it's a good thing they outlawed that stuff. It was arsenic, you know, so arsenic was being, you know, distributed all over our world, and that, you know, that's bad mojo stuff. So now they have, I think, chromate, something, something chromate. Josh, you know the name of what it is now? Something. Copper.
Yeah, copper is a big component. So you'll see terms thrown around like CCA, ACQ, MCQ, and it's just basically an abbreviation for what's in it to prevent rot and making it less attractive to bugs. Copper is a really good...
Yeah, I think that copper stuff's what we've got that's rotted out already.
Oh. Yeah, and it's unfortunate to hear, but, you know, when they roll out a new material like that, you hear cases of that, and a lot of it has to do with, you know, the guidance that was coming from the lumber yards about what was selected when the carpenters picked up their lumber kind of stuff. And
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I would just make sure you replace it with the new lumber. The new lumber is trustworthy. I'm not aware of any recent problems with that. It does take stainless steel or coated fasteners, so you're going to, instead of spending, you know, $20 on screws, you're going to spend $45 or $50, you know, per box. It's big bucks, because that stuff just eats up. It eats up metal.
Yeah, that's what we've got in it now, but still, I don't know, just disappointing that something you put that much money into would last any longer than that.
Well, I'll tell you what, Wayne, for me, I'm smiling. I think you're lucky it was only a deck. You know, the whole reason Josh and I got into building science years ago is whole houses were having that kind of experience when all this newfangled stuff was, you know, high energy, you know, don't vent it, you know, keep the water out stuff. And so you're lucky it's only a deck. Frankly, what got Josh and I going to all these silly classes over the last 20 years is just exactly that, for entire houses and structures that just fell down. So, I think, you know, go with the best you can get. And you can reuse that decking quite successfully.
Okie dokie.
All right, Wayne, good luck, my friend.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Goodbye.
Bye now. You know, Josh, that's interesting. There's so many different new ideas. That's one of the things I'm grateful for, living in the Midwest and being in the Show Me State. Like, it is?
Yeah, we see a lot.
Sounds great.
We get it from both sides. Stuff that happens on the coast will eventually make its way here. And sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes that's a bad thing, because being in a mixed humid climate, some applications that you see in, like, coastal environments, not necessarily applicable here. So you don't necessarily need to build a boat dock kind of, or saltwater
environment
kind of thing. Yeah. In this area, we don't have to worry about that so much.
Yeah, what that means is sliding doors, patio doors, hinge doors. You know, the hardware is stainless steel on the coast.
Windows.
Oh my gosh, yeah, everything. You know, anyway, I'll tell you what, Josh. Let's take a short break. Come back for more on the KMOX Home Improvement Show and see what's happening. Stay tuned. We've got water coming up next from John Courtney on Helitech. This is KMOX. Josh Dunlap, Scott Mosby, Home Improvement. We are at your service. All right, live and lively, Home Improvement, KMOX, 50,000 watts, so much to talk about. Let's go right back to our phone lines here and see what's cooking with Joe. Hey, Joe, good morning. Welcome to KMOX, my friend. How can I help?
Hey, Scott, how are you? I listened to you for a long time. I really appreciate the advice you give people.
Glad to help, friend.
Hey, I got to tell you one thing, though, my friend, and that is I noticed that, like, every time someone has, like, plaster work that needs done, you guys all want to drywall it all up.
Yeah.
A qualified plaster is still alive and well in the St. Louis area. And to repair a project with plaster is most of the time better when done correctly. You know, the drywall, when it gets wet, it creates mold. Plaster does not. Mold does not grow on plaster.
Understood.
Save a lot of money by repairing that plaster instead of drywall and everything.
Well, it depends on whether the plaster's coming off the lath or not.
The landfill's full enough. Let's keep the plaster out of the landfill and repair it, my friend. Come on. Hey, plaster's got to eat, too.
Understood.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks.
All right. And that's true. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with Joe. Once it starts coming off the lath, I would think Josh and I would agree that that's a wise choice to hold it up. But frankly, if you've ever seen a real plaster, repaired plaster, it is. It's
beautiful,
art.
Beautiful thing to watch.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's something to watch in the process, and it is a beautiful outcome. No question about it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I would say that in the remodeling business, we're looking for the right solution for a particular client's needs. And in some cases, plaster is absolutely the right decision. But in other cases, they have to make a decision that is based on economics, aesthetics, and speed and efficiency. And sometimes plaster isn't on the menu.
Yeah, so. And lead-based paint, as you were describing as well. So,
yep. What are you trying to accomplish, and what's the best way to get there?
But, as a matter of fact, Joe brings up a good point. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. There are good applications, and I'll tell you what, if you've never seen a plaster, real plaster do their work, and I'm not talking about the artistic, cove molds, like you see at the Fox. We're just talking about good old flat plaster. Mm-hmm. These guys are incredible.
I enjoy watching it. It's the artistry and the execution of craftsmanship that these plasterers have is just phenomenal.
You know what amazes me is some guys talk. They're just like me. They're a mile a minute while they're doing this thing, and their hands are just doing this magical thing. And then other guys are, kind of like, the absent-minded professor building, the next nuclear, reactor. And it's like, you never know what's going on inside there. But by golly, the plaster that comes out is pretty good-looking stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, John Courtney, are you with us here, brother?
Hey, Scott, I sure am. How are you?
I'm pretty good, as long as I can get the right button on. How's the traffic out there on a Saturday before the holidays?
Well, it's wet and slow. I can tell you that right now. It's coming in from the Illinois side over to Missouri today. It was a little slow going, but 2 days of rain, it's pretty soupy out there.
Well, that's why I've asked you to come in and talk with us. I know I'm asking a lot to get in here on, before the big holidays.
Got to keep me out of those malls. Is that right for this Christmas shopping?
Somehow I think you're probably more worried about it than you are hanging in it.
Amen to that.
Yeah. Well, John, what's cooking out there? I mean, we've had some rain. What are the existing conditions out there? And, what's good for our listeners to know?
Well, if you've got the problem, then you have the problem, because there's obviously, I left a property this morning that had so much water in their crawl space.
Oh.
Just because the nonstop rain, the ground hasn't hardened yet, it's mm-hmm. softening, it's getting hard, it's softening, so you just have so much moisture there. And so with that, our seasons have changed a little bit, and you're seeing it's raining, it's getting hot, then it's raining, we didn't really have a fall this year, it just seemed like it went straight from a heavy rain to... Here we are, wintertime, So when you have these dramatic changes, you got to be mindful of your house and look at those things that you normally don't look at, like your gutters. Where do the extensions mm-hmm. go? Where is it draining the property water off to? And a lot of times you do all the right things, and there's just no other rhyme or reason, but you have to get in there and you have to call the professionals like a Helitech to come in and fix it. And we have products like Hydroway systems that are designed for heavy water flow mm-hmm. to get that water away from the property. And we're really successful with it. That's why we guarantee it. So you don't have to really revisit these issues again.
I've been challenged so many times. It's like, well, what is it that, why don't you dig up the foundations and do this and do that? It's like that's a rare situation, but by golly,
we get asked that all the time, Scott. And the concept is you're digging up compacted soil and you're making it loose again. And you can seal the foundation, but you're not going to stop that water table from coming under the footing then, because you created a new catch area, because it's got to recompact, reset. So you're not so successful. It's a lot of work to go to the outside. It's invasive.
And you're trying to beat Mother Nature, which is kind of a fool's errand.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We have been very successful with our system, our Hydroway system, going internally, digging mm-hmm. down underneath the flooring, getting next to the footing, creating basically a gravity flow with our system. and draining it into catch basins or sump pits, if you would, and getting that water away from the property. We have solutions for stone foundations, brick foundations, cinder block foundations. So the technology we have there can really fix any foundation.
Well, you know what? We had a previous caller asking us about treated lumber for decks, and Josh and I were back and forth on that a bit. Treated lumber was developed for foundations, mm-hmm. for inexpensive. Have you come across any treated lumber foundation? I mean, you see so many of these critters out there. Mm-hmm. You know, I've only seen one, and that's in, you know, 45 years. I built one, you know, and that was 40 years ago. It's like, oh, my dad was like, well, let's give it a try. You know,
I've seen it where the wood is still infused in the concrete. They've kind of made their own makeshift, you know, wood stacks, and they have poured concrete in between there, and they pulled the wood off, and you can always see the wood lines, or they've left the wood in there.
Yeah.
But I've never seen a wood foundation. So no, that's God. I've been doing it 24 years. That's one I haven't seen yet.
Well, I got into it, and my dad taught me this, and this is way back, and it was a failing foundation, and you know, financially there just wasn't the choice. You know, economics really mattered. And that's why they've got O2O above grade treated lumber, and then O4O, which is suitable for below grade, which we think of as fences and stuff like. But it was really made for foundation. You know, it's like, well, foundation guy, I'll ask John.
Sure. No, mostly, you know, when we get into that stuff, it's past that point, it's rot. And so the wood, like, sill plate, the band boards, because the grade is so over time has deteriorated it. And then we have to go in there and lift the structure up, remove that, and then reposition to get that water from doing that again.
That's kind of a cool project to see as well. Josh, you've seen houses lifted and moved and all that?
I have. That
closer
is also,
than you wanted to be?
I'm actually considering lifting my own house.
So. Oh, are you really? Oh, my gosh. We'll put him on bottled oxygen later, John.
I've got a rubble foundation on my house, and it's got some problems, and it looks like Helitech's going to be playing a role in giving me guidance as to what the best paths are. But, yeah, I'm weighing out all the options.
And there you go.
Good deal.
So what's out there? I mean, is it really saturated soil pretty much throughout the listening area with this slow rain and not frozen soil now?
It is. Right now, it's just soup. It is just so saturated. Obviously, the temperature's not really getting to those freezing levels yet. We have ponds around properties right now. They're just sitting there because the ground's not drying out.
Yeah.
It's not absorbing it. So, yeah, the water saturation that I'm seeing the last few days has been, you know, crazy. Now, granted, we've kind of been in a lull. There hasn't been much there. Then all of a sudden, Welcome to the Midwest. We have these peaks and valleys of these crazy weathers that come in. So as of right now, for me, I've been seeing a lot of the hydrostatic pressure pushing on these foundations.
Yeah.
You know, creating some lateral cracking to where, you know, the walls start moving or bowing or buckling. You know, I also see where that water table starts to rise up inside that property line where we got to start rerouting that. You know, and honestly, Scott, you've been doing this a long time. Every home's different. Mm-hmm. Every situation is unique to that home. It's not like there's a cookie cutter spreadsheet that you just take out there and you throw at it. You have to evaluate all the aspects to really see what the true heel of the home is.
John, with saturated soil, and you know, we're just in the middle of December, the big freeze is about to hit.
Yep.
Water expands.
Yeah.
Are we likely to see a lot of bowed foundations if we go with a prolonged freeze in this winter? I mean, all that wet soil is just going to get bigger sideways on these foundations.
Exactly right, Scott. That ground, that 32 where that frost is, any moisture line in there, just like an ice cube, it freezes. It's going to swell and push. So any structural lateral problems you're having now, it's not going to go away. You're going to start seeing it more and more. I've had a call probably last week from two different homeowners stating that they're seeing the crackings getting worse. Can you get out here faster? Because obviously Helitech's a busy company, and we are trying to service the regions we have and trying to get to every home in a timely. It's a blessing, but it's like if you're hearing that right away, there's issues going on that really need attention from us, and we get out there and we'll survey to make sure what the right fix is for that.
John, how do people get in touch with Helitech? What's the rhyme and reason? How do we dig you guys up to come see my house?
You can call us at 1-800-246-9721.
And website?
Yep, you can call, go to helitechonline.com, and you can go ahead and fill out any online information you have, and what they call a specialist of Helitech will come out there and survey that and take a look what's going on.
Hey, I want to get to a phone line here, a phone caller once. I want to talk about your warranty a little bit when after we come back from break.
Sure, Scott.
All right. John Courtney, Helitech, Josh Dunlap with me, Scott Mosby with my eyes covered, and I'm just poking buttons blindly. But let's see what's cooking here and talk with my friend John. Hey, John, Scott, Josh, and John here. How you doing?
Hey, how are you today?
Pretty good. How can we help you, my friend?
I'm sorry, I'm walking out of a store here. So we're redoing a kitchen. We're doing a kitchen project remodel. We're doing some of the work ourselves and having a contractor do some work. And we have an issue with heating in where this kitchen is. And curious about under tile heat, you know, the radiant heat that, if you've had any experience with that, if that's good, bad, indifferent, just trying to find a solution for heating in a kitchen that's over a crawl space.
Oh, tons of experience. Keep in mind here, a warm floor is a great thing. It is hard with electric heat on a warm floor to heat like radiant heat when you have a hot water heating system on full radiant heat. The BTUs delivered from a heated floor, if it's a frame structure, is a very different conversation than radiant heat with hot water. You know, or some sort of a lot of something delivering a lot of BTUs a lot. Josh, do you have any experience with really heating a house, you know, with electric hot floors?
It's done. It kind of comes down to what facilities are in the house. And if you've got a natural gas coming in and you have a relatively efficient way of heating or generating heat, what can you do with that? And in some cases, your only option is electric. And with resistant heating, it's you're really just taking all the watts coming in and turning it right into heat. It's somewhat inefficient, but it can work. And the nice thing is if you design the floor system properly, you have enough thermal mass there. The energy you put in, you pretty much get out. So as long as you keep that floor around, you know, 68 to 75 degrees, your comfort levels are really manageable.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, John, keep in mind, there is a ton of insulation that goes underneath any kind of radiant heat to make sure all of that heat comes up into the room. So on a heated slab, there's, you know, 2 to 4 inches of, you know, closed cell foam to keep that from heating the soil below. So keep in mind that even if you're using a framed floor and heating with the floor, you still have a ton of insulation responsibility to make sure you're not making that crawl space, you know, 80, 90 degrees.
Right, right. Okay. Yeah, we've discussed that somewhat as well. So are there other thoughts or suggestions? I mean, the other thing we've looked at a little bit is under the cabinet, you know, basically fans. And we do have a hydronic radiant heat system in the house. But putting that under that kitchen floor was so expensive, we were looking for other options.
Yeah, it's well, you can do that radiant heat. We have used those fan-forced hot water heaters that go under the cabinets, so don't discount that. That can deliver a lot of BTUs. So, you know, it's okay, but you only have point heat, so it's like forced air heat, and you have to make sure you get, please do a heat loss calculation.
How
many BTUs go out of that room and how many need to come in and at whatever, you know, insulated wall and outside temperatures. Make sure you do the math on that before you really tackle this because, you know, some systems just can't deliver the amount of BTUs into that box.
Okay. Well, we've got a lot of work to do on that before we get that going, I guess.
Yeah, you need a really good partner to take you through this thing. This is like one real wizard because the installation of those things is a lot easier than figuring out what the right way is to heat that space and cool it as well. You know, so you've got mini split systems that it's a forced air unit that can go in there. When we have rooms that are problems, we'll put a mini split in there. You know, our IT room in the Mosby office has a split system in it.
Right.
It, you know, because it has such different needs than the rest of the building. So.
Right. And that's what this is. This was an add-on back probably 35 years ago, and we put central air in, so we have forced air conditioning, but there's really no heat because we still use the radiant heat. So, anyway.
Well, don't shortcut this. Don't shortcut this, or you might wind up ripping out some of that kitchen and then spending the second time. So don't miss your opportunity to get it right.
All right. Appreciate the time.
Okay, John. Take care. Bye now. Josh, anything you we want to add to there? Anything we missed, maybe?
Again, this kind of relates back right to that plaster situation, is finding the right solution. Hydronic heating is fantastic, but if you need to use resistive heating, it's just finding the right combination of things to solve your problem. Yeah. And just like you said, do your due diligence, you know, seek the guidance of professionals, and you can come up with a solution that works.
Wow. There we go. Sounds like familiar information there, John.
It does.
All right, John, Josh, and Scott back for more on Camo X right here at your service. Whoa. Oh, yeah. Air guitar. Greg Harvey, our producer. Oh, you got to see this. Oh, man. Cut it out, Greg. Don't do that. Oh, sorry, folks. It's radio. Oh, yeah, I probably. No, Greg's not really doing air guitar. Well, we'll keep it. It's a secret. Anyway, what can we say? John, we talked a little bit off the air about warranties and such. Yeah. I mean, frankly, Josh and I get into homes all the time. And, you know, people say, well, you know, how good a job do I need to do on my foundation repair? It's like, well, it's not so much you. It's what the next buyer cares.
That's exactly it, Scott. Because we've been doing this so long and we have really mastered what we do over at Helitech, we're able to give life of the structure transferable warranties on our product lines on those homes when we fix them.
Say that one more time.
And so we're able to offer lifetime transferable warranties. And that is a beautiful thing to a homeowner, because this is not a one-time purchase. This is an investment on your biggest investment.
Oh, no kidding.
You know, and that you're wanting an inspector, when he comes in and you sell it, you're selling the property, and you say, yeah, Helitech fixed this. It's a warranty. Joe and Susie have a great peace of mind, and they're moving forward. Because if there ever is an issue, Helitech is there to fix it. And we do come out. If you guys want us to check it, survey it before you buy the property, just to give you a peace of mind before you do that. So we do have a proactive approach as well, versus a come in after it's already destroyed, right. You know. So there's a lot of aspects that we can really help homeowners out. But generally, when we have to get into what we do at Helitech, mm-hmm. we know it's not a fun situation. You know, we understand the pain that the homeowner has to go with, because insurance normally doesn't pick it up.
Wow.
So they have to find the means out of their own sources to fix these things. So we offer financing. We have things available in-house that we can help these homeowners out to kind of ease that pain.
Sure.
So with that, not only is it a financial thing, then it's like, okay, well, what if it happens again? Well, that's why you have the biggest name in the industry that does this every day to come out and fix it. That's half the problem with lifetime warranty, Scott. You know it. I can give you a lifetime warranty, but if you're not in business in 3 or 4 years, how good was that lifetime warranty? Yeah,
how'd that work out for you?
Exactly. Then you're paying for it twice. How does that feel?
Worse than paying it the first time.
That's why the peace of mind's there, and we want to make sure that it's a great experience for the homeowner, so they know when it's done, it was done right.
Phone numbers before we go to the phones.
You can reach us at 1-800-246-9721. Again, that is 1-800-246-9721.
All right, hang on a minute. We're going to go to Jim and see what's cooking with my friend on the phone here. Hey, Jim, Scott, Josh, and John here. How can we help you, my friend?
Hi, Scott.
Hello there.
Yeah, I've got, it's the old chrome. It's in the bathroom. It's the toothbrush holder / soap dish holder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the house was built in the 70s. And there's no screws or anything I can see. I'm just wondering, is that glued in?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I feel your pain. Yes, it is. It's, how old is your bathroom?
It's probably original, that soap dish holder from the 70s. Oh,
yeah, it's mud set in there. It's probably set in not with glue, but actually with the grout or mortar. Josh, is that kind of a thin set that they bed it into?
Yeah, it's integrated into that tile system or whatever you have in the wall. It's cast in, so to speak.
Yeah.
It's not easy to remove.
Yeah, big hammer and a really hard hit. Don't baby this thing. You want to shatter the bond of that cement adhesive behind it, and you will destroy this chrome thing. So don't take it off until you're ready to replace it with something. And there are some available similar to those that you can mud set back in those openings.
Okay, even though it's in the drywall part of the wall, you still think it's mud set?
If it has no screws visible, well, if you have drywall on, how old is your house?
70s.
It's in the 70s.
Oh, man. No, you're not mud set in there. I think you're just glued in there. But you'll just, yeah, you'll take some drywall then and some paper with you maybe. Cut around with a utility knife around the outside of that to try and break the bond between the paint and maybe some caulk. And you may be able to just pull that thing out of the wall, but no telling what it's glued to. It's probably glued to that, could be, you know, tile underneath it. I don't know.
You might also want to take a look underneath it. Sometimes they have very, very tiny little set screws to where a bracket is actually attached to the wall first, and then the fixture is put on top of that bracket and usually retained with a very, very small set screw, usually in a discrete location. So if you see a little pinhole, like no, like a, big enough to get like a end of a pencil in, there's a good chance there's a hex set screw tucked up inside there, or maybe even a small flat screw.
Yeah, good point.
All right, I'll look for that.
All right. Good luck, Jim. I've been baffled by this on many times where I spent more time scratching my head than working. So
if it is drywall, and you do end up damaging it, drywall is relatively easy to repair.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks. I've done many of it. Yeah.
Well, good. Then you're in a good stead.
Yeah. All right.
All right, Jim. Good luck, my friend.
Thank you. Same to you.
Right on. Thank you. Merry Christmas to you. Bye.
Bye.
All right. Well, we've got about 30 more seconds. Big John, you going to stick around with us a few minutes after the top of the hour here?
Scott, I'll hang out with you guys for a little bit.
Right on, right on. Take a little bit out. Then any big family things happening this weekend for you?
You know, Scott, I have a three-year-old turning four-year-old here on December 23rd.
Oy.
So, and my wife is December 24th.
Oh, you big boy.
It is a busy month for me. So we did the Union Station Polar Express last night with all the kiddos and enjoyed that family fun and activity. And if you haven't done that, go ahead and take that chance. It's a great time.
All right. Cam Wex, Josh, John, and Scott back for more.